The Lord Jesus was with his disciples in that upper room in Jerusalem, and he said his farewells. Very soon, he was taken away from the room. He was to be arrested and crucified, he's going to rise from the dead, and then he's going to return to heaven, ruling his disciples here in this world. So the Lord Jesus is preparing his disciples for his departure. Now we can think in the last couple of weeks about the picture that the Lord Jesus uses here in the opening verses 1 from 15. I am a true vine, he says, and my Father is the gardener. I am a true vine, says the Lord Jesus. Which means that Jesus is thinking in comparison with another vine. In the Old Testament, the nation of Israel is often pictured as a vine. Every Israelite was a branch in the vine of Israel. God planted Israel as a vine so that Israel could produce the fruit that God was looking for. Which is righteousness and truth and holiness. But Israel proved to be a corrupt vine. For all the attention, for all the favors that God allowed for the nation of Israel, the Jewish nation still produced nothing but sin and corruption. When you look through the whole history of Israel in the Old Testament, all you see is Israel sliding back again and again into apostasy and wickedness. So you could be a branch of that vine, the vine of Israel, and you could still be a bad man. You could still be a man with a wicked heart and an ungodly life. But now the Lord Jesus says, I am the true vine. And down in verse 5, says to his disciples, and you are the branches. The Lord Jesus is the real vine, the vine that produces real fruit, in contrast with the old vine, the corrupt vine of Israel. The Lord Jesus is the true vine, and his people are united to him, as we are part of him, just as branches are part of the vine. There is a real organic union between the Lord Jesus and his people. His life flows into them and produces fruit in them. They join to him, so they share his life. His thoughts become their thoughts. His attitudes become their attitudes. They value the things he values. They hate the things that he hates. They learn to do the things that he does. We find a sap flows from the stem, and it flows with every breath. And that's why the branches produce fruit. Where the Spirit of Jesus flows from the Lord Jesus into the hearts and minds and lives of every one of his people, because they are truly organically joined to him. I am the true vine, Jesus. You are disciples, you are the branches. And the element of the confusing, he says in verse 1, my Father is the farm, he is the fruit grower. For the Father himself cares for the vine. It's a very personal one, and it tends to cultivate every one of the branches. Now, you see that there are two operations particularly by which the farm cares for the vine. There is two, the contrast of branches. This is a blend of people. Branches that are appropriate for the vine, but obviously they are shared as changes of generation are inherited in you.
The
vida esperando a casa. A vida esperando a casa. Thank you.
Thank you. you have to drink in some parole or association. When you have to go down into that water as a sign that you're leaving your life, so you can remember how you were hurt. You can remember the weeks or the months or the years when you were seeking God and wondering if you could ever find Him. You can remember how you cried out longing for assurance and wondering if you would ever find, if He would ever come and put His arms around you. You can remember how how to break with sin was the hardest and most painful thing you had ever had to do. And yet God brought you through that. He converted you. He changed your heart. He cut deep within you. He set you free. He made you a new person then. Compared with that, the operations He's doing on you now are minor operations. That's the comfort the Lord Jesus is giving to His disciples. You are clean, He says. You have been renewed. You have been made new. And He says, you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. What is the instrument that God uses to perform this definitive operation? What is the instrument God uses to take a man or a woman and to transform them, to change their heart, to cut them free from the old nature, to make them a new creature in Christ Jesus? It is His word. You look back and you remember that. You look back and you remember that it was the word of God that convicted you of your sins. It was the word of God that taught you to hate yourself in your sins. It was the word of God that made you seek the Lord. It was the word of God that set you crying out night and day saying, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. It was the word of God that stirred you up to feel hope, to say, maybe one day I'll be able to say I'm a new man. And it was the word of God that finally brought you assurance, because the word of God showed you Jesus Christ in all His glory and beauty. And at last you knew that you couldn't stay away from Jesus Christ, whatever it cost, whatever pain was involved. You had to come to Him because you saw how attractive and delightful and glorious He is. And you knew that He was ready to receive you. And so His word drew you. You heard His words of warning, and you heard His words of promise. You heard Him say, come unto me, and you came. And you found that in coming to Jesus, you were freed from your sins. You found grace to put away the sins that you once thought you could never put away. And you found grace to begin to walk in ways of holiness. And you found that where before you couldn't pray, now it was natural to pray. And where once you couldn't bear to be among God's people because you felt so wretched and guilty when you were in their midst, now it was your delight to be among them. And it was all done through the word of Jesus Christ. It was all done through His words which probed your heart and convicted you of your sins and exposed them and made you feel wretched and then drew you to Himself. It was all done by the word. The word is the great means that God uses to perform this radical operation of conversion or regeneration or new birth. It's spoken of in different ways within Scripture. And it's that same word then that God uses to carry on the work of purification. When the once for all definitive work has been done, then it is the word of God that continues the work. It is as we are penetrated by the word of Christ that the old patterns fall away. It's as Christ's word penetrates our hearts and our minds that Christ-like patterns of thought and feeling and conduct begin to work within us. The Spirit works through the word. We said that it is the life of the Lord Jesus, the Spirit of the Lord Jesus, that works in every branch to produce fruit. But the Spirit of the Lord Jesus works through the Word of the Lord Jesus. The great means that God uses to cut away everything that is a hindrance from our lives is that he, by his Spirit, takes up his word and he applies it. Now that word doesn't only show us the change that needs to come. That word effects the change. That word empowers the change. It is as the word of Christ soaks into us, not only that we see what change needs to happen, but that we find power to deal with the things that need to be dealt with. It is the word in the hand of the Holy Spirit that remakes us progressively, that causes this new life to work itself out in us. You're already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. In verse 7, he talks about the fact that now we remain in Christ and his words remain in us. His words soaking through our system. His words filling our hearts and our mind. His words creating within us his attitudes, his desires, his concerns. That is the great means of grace that the Lord Jesus Christ gives to us, his people. He gives us his words. And apart from those words, the work of grace cannot go forward in us. I suspect that many of us become agitated and troubled because we see so little change within ourselves. And we begin to despair, or we begin to blame God, or we begin to say that the Bible promises aren't really true, because we still seem to struggle on and on with the same things. And we ask, well, what's the problem? We ask, why don't things change? And I think very often the real reason is a very simple one. That we've not taken heed of this simple principle. That we are to be people who are soaked in the words of Jesus Christ. That we are to be people who are constantly being operated on by the words of Jesus Christ. We spend so little time meditating upon Jesus and his words. We spend so little time letting those words soak into our hearts and into our minds. Small wonder then if there is so little fruit. And small wonder then if God has to use sharper and more painful pruning methods to accomplish his ends within us. And we must return to the words of Jesus Christ. His commands, his promises, his reassurances, his declarations of love. It's as these things soak into our hearts and minds and lives that we are progressively remade. Last night, speaking to Paul, I just gave Paul two headings, if you remember. I said that first of all, he must never forget what God has done. And then secondly, he must never forget what he must do. And I would just give you the same two headings this morning. What has God done? If you're a believer, God has done something wonderful. God has once for all definitively made you a new man. A new woman. God has definitively renewed your heart. God has cut you off from the corrupt vine that has grown for 6,000 years or more. God has planted you, grafted you into Christ. God has given you a new nature that must and will result in holiness and everlasting glory. That's what God has done. And so what must you do? You must remain in Christ. We'll think about that, God willing, next week. And above all, you must let his words remain in you. You must be people who are constantly allowing the life of Christ, the life of the vine, to work in you and through you. And that will happen through the word, through the words that Jesus Christ speaks. You want to know more of Christ? You want to have closer fellowship with him. You want your life to be more Christ-like. You want to have a mind that's full of love and joy and peace like his. You want a life that's full of patience and long-suffering and kindness like his. Well then, you must be full of the words of Christ. You must be meditating constantly on all that Jesus Christ has said. There is life in the words of Jesus Christ. And it is as we meditate on the words of Christ that we find Christ's life being reproduced in us. Well, may God take up these thoughts. They're a little scattered and confused, but may God take up the thoughts that we have here and apply them to our hearts for the sake of Jesus. Amen. We'll close.